You're listening to Kyle Warren.
+90 degree temperatures hitting us here in Southern California as we begin the program today. We understand the high temps will be here for the next few days. And across the American Southwest, triple digits in some cases. And a lot of people are wondering that as these stay-at-home orders continue, when will they get a real chance to get outside and really be able to enjoy the warm weather? Well, that remains to be seen. But, you know, with all of the talk of the coronavirus, the emergency, the economic impact, all of these different things, it's time we had a reset in all of this. Author Patrick Gilligan is here. Stay with us, folks. All right. Welcome, everyone, around the globe and across the net. Kyle Warren with you. A great pleasure to be with you as we begin this Friday/weekend edition. Thank you for listening. It is Friday, April the 24th, 2020, and we have an awful lot to tell you about on the program today. And as I said, author Patrick Gilligan is here. He'll be with us in just a few moments. But first, let me give you a quick program note. I will be a guest on the Captain's America Third Watch radio program. All that comes up later on this evening, 11:05 p.m. Pacific, 2:05 a.m. Eastern Time. And of course, you can go to KyleWarrenShow.com. That's KyleWarrenShow.com. And you can find links to listen live to Captain Matt Bruce's flagship station of AM 860 The Answer there in Tampa, Florida, as the program goes out along the Salem Media Group of stations and, of course, along the GCN network as well. So we hope to see you there. All right. Well, folks, as we mentioned on the program yesterday, we have a real treat for you today on the Friday/weekend edition. We have well-known author Patrick Gilligan on the program with us. He's the author of All You Need Is One Great Idea. Welcome to the program, Patrick.
Kyle, thank you so much. It's great to be on your show.
Well, thanks for coming on. You know, can you tell us a little bit about what this book is about and sort of what led to its writing?
Well, good question, Kyle. I can see why you have your own show. Well, to tell you the truth, Kyle, many years ago, I had my own radio show. I had a show called Entrepreneur Spotlight, and it ran for 5 years. And I had the honor of interviewing some of the top entrepreneurs in the country. And I also had occasion to interview the top motivational speakers in the country, people like Tony Robbins, Les Brown, Tom Hopkins, Zig Ziglar, those kinds of folks. And so those interviews were just kind of catching dust sitting around. So I decided to go through the interviews, the audio tapes, made extensive notes, put that into book form, and then I also decided to go ahead and research some historical figures that accomplished a lot in their lives. I wrote down their adversities, how they overcame obstacles, and included a lot of motivational quotes, inspirational quotes, put all that into book form, and sent it out there into the world. And my hope is that people will read the book, and they'll be thinking about a particular famous person, maybe maybe Larry King or U.S. Grant or Abraham Lincoln, and thinking, you know, I could utilize that strategy in my life. So that's kind of the genesis of the book and why I put it together.
Well, exactly right. You know, I noticed that the book came out in December of 2019.
Right, the very end of December.
Very end of December. And that's right around the time where people were starting to make their New Year's resolutions.
Right.
I know I was. And I think a lot of people were gearing up, you know, for a great new year. They had maybe these great ideas that they wanted to pursue and so forth. But everything's really changed now because of the shutdown and COVID-19. But
right.
In this book, as I was going through it, I noticed that what you're talking about are really timeless, ideas. They're,
mm-hmm.
they're timeless applications that everybody can benefit from. Because right now, everything looks, you know, kind of bleak. But I think a lot of the people that you write about and that you've interviewed, well, they faced bleakness and they faced all kinds of obstacles in their day.
Kyle, of course, I'm in Michigan and we're known for automobiles. And there's a fellow by the name of Henry Ford. I think you may have heard of him.
Oh, yes. I drive one. Yeah.
Well, I read write about Henry Ford a little bit in the book. And what struck me about Henry Ford is, though, you know, you think of these larger-than-life icons, and you forget that these are people that have feelings and face adversity like we all do. And I remember at one point in his life, he had been turned down by all the bankers in Detroit. They all thought this idea of an automobile was kind of crazy. And somebody was walking down one of the main streets in Detroit and saw Henry Ford sitting on a curb with his elbows on his knees and his hands holding his head. He was so dejected, he was openly crying. But he persevered, found the funding, and created the entire auto industry, if you will.
Well, exactly right. See, he was able to, you know, as you said, persevere. And
right.
And that's, in fact, one of the quotes that you mentioned, I think, is from Calvin Coolidge.
Right.
Who talks about, you know, it's not just talent. You know, because there's a lot of people out there with a lot of talent,
right.
But it's the persistence. And you're right, if Henry Ford had given up, we wouldn't have what we have today. And certainly the automobile industry might be very different, or it might have occurred in some other manner. But because of one man's persistence, you know, we have the world in which we live.
Well, the other thing, too, is, you know, you have to take pleasure and optimism in small things. For example, here in Michigan, the sun is out. Our governor just announced she's going to open up the golf courses again. I'm a tennis player, so I'm hoping that means we're going to unlock the tennis court. So we can always look forward to our sports and our activities as well.
Well, precisely. And that's one of the, I think here in Orange County, California, today is the first day that golf courses are open as well.
There's
all the different sort of precautions that have to be in place, of course, but people do need to get outside. And you mentioned the word optimism.
Right.
You know, again, you know, I think of people like Teddy Roosevelt, for example.
Right.
And, you know, he had this notion of doing what you can with what you have where you are.
Right.
And speaking of like failure and being persistent, he also failed several times before he ever became president of the United States.
Well, I believe, you know, Walt Disney went bankrupt, I think, at least a dozen times.
Right.
And still persevered. And J.C. Penney was once institutionalized. And then he came out of that. He'd walk around with a card in his wall that said, "Hello, I'm J.C. Penney. I'm worth $25 million, and I'm sane."
Well, you mentioned that sort of number of, you know, that amount of money. Mm-hmm. Tell us about Jim Carrey and what he did when he was, you know, just an up-and-coming, struggling actor.
Well, yeah, Jim Carrey was from Canada, as you know, and he was a comedian and actor. He went out to Hollywood. He was a struggling actor like most of them are in the beginning, and he faced a lot of rejections and dejection. One day, he took out his checkbook, and he wrote a check to himself. I believe the amount was something like $20 or $25 million, dated the check several years into the future. Now, fast forward to almost that exact date, he gets his role, his first role in a huge movie, and the amount of money they were going to pay him was the same amount of money he wrote on the check, and it was the same date he wrote on the check.
Wow, that is really something.
It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really a different way to do some goal setting, if you think about it.
Absolutely. And in fact, that leads into my next question, which we're going to get to right after the break. Folks, stay right there. We'll be right back with more with author Patrick Gilligan, author of All You Need Is One Great Idea, right after this.
You're listening to Kyle Warren.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Coming in for a landing means a pilot must balance crucial factors, including airspeed, flaps, and rate of descent. A pilot must also be prepared for the unexpected, such as engine failure and wind shear. When it comes to your income property, having the right pilot at the controls can mean the difference between a safe landing and one that will cost you. Investors Property Services. We manage income property. www.investorshq.com.
If you're a veteran looking to file for your service-connected benefits through the Department of Veterans Affairs, don't go it alone. AMVET's highly trained service officers stand ready to walk you through the process at VA regional offices around the country, helping you to navigate the complex VA system free of charge. With new presumptions for Agent Orange exposure and other conditions, AMVET's can offer you the advice you need to finally receive all of your earned benefits. In 2009 alone, AMVET's helped process more than 65,000 claims and appeals, securing more than $410 million in benefits. To find your nearest AMVET service officer or to learn more, visit amvets.org.
After a long, hard day in the rough and tumble world of politics, open a tall, cool Kyle Warren Show. Ah, that crisp, refreshing taste. That smooth style. That effervescing attitude. And without all that other stuff that can, well, bog you down. Helping to put back what the daily media assault takes away, listen to The Kyle Warren Show weekdays right here on this station and visit the website at kylewarrenshow.com.
You're listening to Kyle Warren.
All right, racing through and rocketing through the Friday / weekend edition. Great to be with you. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, you can go to KyleWarrenShow.com. That's KyleWarrenShow.com. There you can subscribe to the program. You can find me on Facebook, friend me on Facebook, join me on Twitter, check out my video pick of the day, all that and much more right there at KyleWarrenShow.com. And we keep going up and up and up, just like the music is doing right there, for one reason, and that is because of you, the listeners. You are sharing the program on social media. You're telling your friends about the program, and we really, really do appreciate it. All right, and we are back with author Patrick Gilligan, author of All You Need is One Great Idea. Patrick, thanks again for being on the program today.
Kyle, it's great to be with you, sir.
Well, thanks very much. And, you know, I mentioned right before the break that I had a question for you.
Sure.
And it sort of went to this idea of, you know, Jim Carrey writing the money on the, or writing the amount on the check to himself. You know, how important is it really to write down these things, you know, that we want to accomplish in order to be successful?
Well, Kyle, I think it's very important. Another entrepreneur that I interviewed was a fellow named Mark McCormick, and Mark started the company IMG, which is the great sports marketing company, and he started the company with a handshake with Arnold Palmer. And of course, he represented all the major sports figures, you know, all their commercials, advertisements, etc. Now, Mark told me that only 3% of adults have clearly defined written goals, only 3%. But those 3% earn, on average, 10 times as much money as the rest of us.
Wow.
That's pretty powerful.
That is significant. Yeah, because I think a lot of people, myself included, you know, we think about the things that we want to do, but it is a very different thing to begin to put things into play step by step. And it doesn't, you know, my father, who passed away many years ago, he told me the old saying, you know, how do you eat the elephant? You know, one bite at a time, you know, that
exactly.
kind of thing.
Exactly. You know, if you don't mind me mentioning, also another fellow I interviewed, Lloyd Conant, a great motivational guy, said, success is goals. All else is commentary.
Yeah. I like that. I like that. Well, and this is really maybe the through line to all the different people that you write about or people that you've interviewed. I saw that you interviewed Ed McMahon at one time. That must have been pretty cool. I always enjoyed watching him on the Carson Show.
Well, you know, one of the great things about doing my own show is I got to meet a lot of great people, and surely being a guest, I've got to meet you, Kyle. I appreciate your friendship.
Thank you.
Yeah, I interviewed Ed McMahon on my show, and then when I had a book that came out years ago called Patrick Gilligan Says Be Your Own Boss. Believe it or not, he turned around and had me as a guest on his radio show. He had a show on, I think it was Armed Forces Network, and the guests that particular day were Kathy Ireland and Patrick Gilligan.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that great? He had me on his show.
Very cool.
And I had his home number. I called him at home one time. And he put me on hold for about 2 or 3 minutes, came back on, and says, Patrick, I'm very sorry for putting you on hold. It's Johnny Carson's birthday, and I was just wishing him happy birthday.
Oh.
I said, and it's okay. I forgive you this one time.
No kidding. Well, but again, but people like Ed McMahon and even Johnny Carson and many of the other people that you mentioned in your book, I mean, they sort of make it look easy. But for example, and it's kind of going back to the idea of persistence and working through failure, you tell a great story about John Wayne. And everybody, you know, when I was a little kid, I just thought John Wayne had always sort of been there. He was always going to be a star and this kind of thing, but it almost really didn't happen for him.
Yeah, he was set to become a star around 1930. He was cast to be in a western, I think it was called The Big Trail, and it would have made him a star. But at that time, the Great Depression hit, and theaters had just brought in some new equipment, and when the Depression hit, this particular type of film couldn't be shown in the movie houses unless they upgraded to the new equipment, and the movie houses couldn't afford that. So Wayne just kind of stuck it out. I mean, he went so far as one movie. He was a singing cowboy, if you can imagine that.
No, that's hard to. I don't think I ever saw that one.
But
yeah, it would have been a long time ago, I know.
But he got his big break in the late 30s with a movie called Stagecoach. But John Ford was the producer of that movie. Now, Wayne had met Ford many years earlier, and Wayne had been a football player for USC and got hurt. And he went down to, I think it was the Fox studio, to get a job as a prop man. John Ford walked by, saw the big strapping Wayne, and said, "You must be one of Pop Fisher's boys." He said, "Yeah, I'm one of his players." And he says, "Yeah, he said, what position do you play on the team?" He says, "Oh, I'm a tackle." And Ford goes, "I used to play halfback." He goes, "You think you could have stopped me?" Wayne looks at him right in the eye and says, "I know I could have."
Wow.
And then Ford says, "Why don't you get down on your stance?" So Wayne gets down on all fours like a lineman would, you know, on his knuckles and everything. And Ford walks around him, and he kicks Wayne, knocks him over. Wayne says, "Well, why don't we try that again, Pilgrim?" Well, he didn't quite say it that way. But Wayne got back on all fours, and just as Ford was about to knock him over again, Wayne turned to the side and kicked Ford with his foot, knocked Ford about 20 feet in the air. Everybody got really quiet and thought, this is the end of this young actor's career.
Mm-hmm.
But Ford dusted himself off and says, "Okay, enough bull, you SOB, let's get back to work." And he and Wayne became friends after that. So it was the right introduction for John Wayne and John Ford. Might not work for you and me, but it worked for them.
Well, exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, also in your book, I know you talk about, or you've talked about as well in the past, you got to interview Tony Robbins.
I did.
Again, this idea, I think, even especially as we emerge into the post-COVID-19 world, you know, there's going to be a lot of uncertainties. People may not even go back to their same job or even into the same industry,
mm-hmm.
Perhaps, depending on everything settles out. But you mentioned some advice that Tony Robbins had that people, you know, need to do each and every day, basically.
Yeah, Tony was a great guy, a dynamic speaker. You know, Kyle, I'm 6 feet tall, and I interviewed Tony in person, and I had to look up to him. He's like 6'7", just a tall, dynamic individual. You know, he basically talked about doing something every day, no matter how small it is, working toward your goal, whatever that may be. So if you're writing a book, write a few pages, write a chapter every day. But every day, do something concrete, something positive, moving forward towards your goal. The other thing I wanted to mention briefly, Kyle, is that sometimes a change in course can make all the difference. So you remember Orville Redenbacher, Redenbacher Popcorn?
Oh, yeah. I loved it. Yeah.
Okay, Redenbacher had been in the popcorn business for many, many years with very little to show for it. And he was in his early 60s at this point. And someone said, and keep in mind, Redenbacher was not a particularly handsome man, but someone said to him, "Hey, Orville, why don't you put a picture of your face on your popcorn box and try that?" Redenbacher said, "You know, I never thought of that, but I'll give it a shot." So he put a package of popcorn with his picture on it, sent it to a buyer in Chicago, And he got a call from the buyer in Chicago and said, hey, your popcorn's selling like crazy. We'll pay for it if you want, but if you'll come down here to the store and autograph the popcorn boxes, we'll pay for the whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, and that really helped to define the brand. It set him apart.
It did.
Yeah, the old-time popcorn, and it gave it was a feeling that people got, you know, in order to buy the product.
Right.
And yeah, that was absolutely just because, as you said, it's a minor change mm-hmm. in course. And you talk about the idea of don't be afraid, you know, to make changes, you know, to your strategy, you know, re-strategize. You don't have to change everything, but sometimes a little change will make all the difference.
Well, you know, you brought up a great point earlier in our conversation, Kyle, when you talked about perseverance. Another great motivational speaker that I interviewed was Les Brown, and he was talking about the fact that one night is getting late, and he was playing a board game with his little daughter, and he said, honey, it's getting late, you're going to have to go to bed. And she stopped, stared at Les Brown and said, Daddy, it's not over until I win.
Wow.
Well, that's off of babes, huh?
Well, it, precisely. And that's really maybe the mindset that people need to have. You know, it's not over till I win, because we can all get downhearted, especially nowadays. But the idea of doing something every day, making those changes and seeing that progress, even if you're, you know, stuck at home, for example, or,
right.
you know, because you're quarantined, this kind of thing. But I like that idea very much. It's not over until I win.
Well, another quote, I have a lot of inspirational quotes, you know, in my book. There was a great comedian and actor named Jonathan Winters. And Winters made a very simple but, I think, powerful comment. He said, I couldn't wait for success, so I went ahead without it.
Wow, that is very cool. Yes. Well, you know,
you just got to keep moving forward.
Well, exactly right. And especially now, because, you know, as I was going through your book, I realized that's, even though, you know, we're in this issue with COVID-19, but the things that you're telling people, it really transcends all that. It works in any.
COVID-19 is going to come to an end. You know, people talk about us living in a different world. I don't think it'll be all that different, but once we come out of this, people are going to still need thriving, successful businesses. And if anything else, I think it teaches you to think outside the box. Think about your situation. Let me give you one quick example from my life, if I could.
Sure.
I'm a bit of a serial entrepreneur, and my first business was an insurance business. And I just, at that time, was selling HMO-type products. The HMOs were in vogue back then. But I was working from a shoestring. I wanted to keep my costs down. So here's what I would do. I would schedule appointments with several businesses in a particular geographic location. And then I had a friend of mine who worked at a life insurance company. He'd come over to my house. He would pick me up. We'd drive to the appointments. I would do my pitch for my health insurance product. I'd say, by the way, this is Mike. He represents so-and-so life insurance. He wants to talk to you about his life insurance product. And so he'd do his pitch. And I tell you what, for some 15, 20 years after that, I received residuals on those life insurance products that he sold.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes. Wow, that is, I mean, that's really cool. I mean, that is...
Saved me a lot of money, too.
Well, I can imagine. I can imagine. And one of the things you talk about in the book, again, just the idea that failure is not an option.
Right.
Where these things are, where your success is concerned. And maybe that's the mindset, you know, right there, to get into that every day.
Yeah. I think I was referring to the movie that was Apollo 13.
Right.
Yeah, where he says, and gentlemen, let me say this, failure is not an option. And that changed the whole mind. Everybody's thinking about we're going to lose the astronauts, we're going to lose the spacecraft. But when he said, gentlemen, let me be clear, failure is not an option. That changed the entire mindset of the people.
Wow, wow. Patrick Gilligan, thank you so much for being here on the program today. Tell us how we can get your great book.
Well, Kyle, thank you so much for the opportunity. Yes, the book is called All You Need Is One Great Idea. It's an Amazon Kindle book, and I cut out the middleman to make it accessible to the common person, like myself. And I hope that the people are inspired and they come away with one great idea that could change their life.
Excellent. Thank you so much again for being here, Patrick, and we wish you all the great success.
Same to you, Kyle.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you.
All right, folks, Patrick Gilligan is the author. The book is All You Need Is One Great Idea. Find it on Amazon, folks. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Kyle Warren.
Hi, folks. This is Kyle Warren. A short timeout, then back with more. So stay right.
Hi, folks. This is Kyle Warren. Stay tuned for the Edwards Notebook right here on the Kyle Warren Show.
The current coronavirus and the construction of 5G towers is making a lot of people sick, but there is something even more sickening. Hello, I'm Ron Edwards. On today's page from the Edwards Notebook, founding father Thomas Paine once stated that the duty of a true patriot is to protect his country from its government. For we know that the nature of government is to grow bigger and bigger and find excuses to dominate us, and if allowed, it could become a deadly enemy. Unfortunately, government officials are not content to simply govern on behalf of we the people. Too often, they seek to enact policies that either inconvenience us, cost us more, or our hard-earned money, or potentially bring bodily harm. Just recently, officials of several cities chose to unleash murderers and rapists right out of prison, so at the same time sought to have gun shops closed. Because they deemed them non-essential. Senator Joe Biden told a man in Michigan that he does not work for him. That is a dangerous attitude held by career politicians like Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters. Wake up, America. I'm Ron Edwards. Check out theronedwards.com for news updates and other great stuff.
Ron Edwards, the new voice of America.
Sponsored by the Tri-County Liberty Coalition.
You're listening to Kyle Warren.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Kyle Warren with you. Welcome back as we continue racing through and rocketing through the Friday/weekend edition. And don't forget, you can go to kylewarrenshow.com. You can find links to listen live to my guest appearance later on this evening, 11.05 p.m. Pacific, 2.05 a.m. Eastern Time, on the Captain's America Third Watch radio program with host Captain Matt Bruce from his flagship station of AM 860, The Answer, there in Tampa, Florida. We'll have a complete wrap-up of all of the day's coronavirus-related news, and of course the politics, and also the other news that you need to hear as well during this whole crisis. And a little bit later on here in this program, we'll hear some of my appearance from earlier this morning, where we're talking about the coronavirus, we're talking about Kim Jong-un, that whole development going on, it seems, in North Korea, and much more. But before we get to that, let's check out this one story here. This is from Newsmax. A retailer is accused of hoarding in the first Defense Production Act prosecution during the pandemic. Federal prosecutors charged a New York retailer Friday with hoarding tons of disposable masks, surgical gowns, and hand sanitizer in a Long Island warehouse and selling them at huge markups. Armadeep, quote, Bobby, unquote, Singh, 45, was charged with violating the Defense Production Act of 1950. Authorities say it's the first such production, or rather prosecution, during the coronavirus pandemic. Singh is expected to surrender to authorities next week in the case around what is known as personal protective equipment, or PPE, which has become a hot commodity, to say the least, during the outbreak. Singh's attorney, Bradley Gerstmann, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, called the charges, quote, mostly fiction, unquote, and said the complaint misstated his client's costs. Quote, if selling PPE goods is improper or criminal, then a lot of people need to go to jail, unquote, Gerstmann said during a telephone interview. Quote, the Defense Production Act is wildly vague, and I don't think this would pass muster on any appellate level. I think this statute would be struck down as null and void. The charges come more than a month after President Donald Trump issued an executive order making it illegal to hoard scarce medical supplies or sell personal protective equipment at inflated prices. So we will see how this pans out, basically. But I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see other kinds of cases like this popping up. And of course, the idea of the mere idea of hoarding the much needed supplies that first responders and frontline medical personnel absolutely need in this crisis is just unconscionable. It is illegal. And so the Justice Department, of course, I think will be finding some people like this. So if anybody's doing that, they better watch out, because I think they'll be brought to justice very, very swiftly. Okay, let's check in on the Dow. The Dow climbed today 260.1 points, or 1.11%, to land at 23,775.27. S&P gained 1.39%. NASDAQ Composite also up 1.65%. Now, stocks are closing higher on Friday, it seems, because oil continues its rise, coming back from those negative numbers. And, of course, we've got such a glut of supplies of oil and even gasoline and fuel, basically, on the market, that with these promised production cuts, this may be one of the reasons why the market is reacting the way that it is. Well, folks, as is our Friday/weekend edition tradition, let's check in with some of my appearance from earlier this morning on the Captain's America Third Watch radio program with host Captain Matt Bruce. Take it away, Captain.
Well, Kyle, we talked about the benefit of going outdoors and getting some sunshine and getting out of the house and this, that, and the other. It was healthy for several different reasons. And here was a little short discussion that Sean Hannity had with our governor, Ron DeSantis. Listen to this.
And by the way, the Villages, I've been there. That is America's friendliest hometown. They do a lot of drinking. They go to a lot of concerts. They watch movies. They eat dinner. They play golf, tennis, pickleball thing, whatever you call that sport that I don't even know anything about. And thankfully, but you, it seems like you went right at the most vulnerable population, and that's where you put your biggest efforts. And it's paid off. One other thing that I noticed that you were saying, and I hope maybe we can learn something from this, is that you're telling people, go outside and get some sun. Don't hide in your house. That was interesting to me. And you did open up beaches,
well, Sean,
not to lay on, but to walk on.
Well, exactly. And so, you know, people would play golf with social distancing. They would fish, go on boat. Now, they're not having big parties. They are maintaining social distance. But I think that that's healthy. And to just sit inside for 2 months eating Cheetos and stuff and watching Netflix, that's not great. So I think we respected people. I think they did it the right way. And I think it's paid off. These draconian orders, I don't think have worked throughout the country.
Bingo.
Bingo is right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people do need to get outside. And I can tell you here, Captain, you know, we had several days of rain. And the first day that the sun came out, I went outside and just went and stood in the sun for a little bit because it felt so good. But that's because it's natural to want to get outside. And if you can go play golf, if you can, you know, observe all those distancing rules and all that, well, that's going to be good for people. Or if they can go to the park. And I know that in many of the places here in California, they have to keep moving. You can't congregate, but people can do what they can to get some fresh air.
Yeah, and by the way, the at-home COVID-19 test kits are starting to come out. Insurance companies are not paying for a lot of it right now. The FDA commissioner is saying that people can pay for them if they want them. They're not cheap. They're expensive. And then maybe somewhere down the line, their insurance company will reimburse for them for it once they make sure that that's covered. Now, let's talk about North Korea's Kim Jong-un. He may or may not be as bad off as some people say.
That's true. You know, the initial reports were pretty severe.
He was
dead. About what might have happened. Right.
Yeah.
He died, and now there's a struggle going on and all these kinds of things. But even at that same time, Captain, we were telling the listeners that there were some pretty skeptical reports still got the reins.
I told him, consider the source. We're talking MSNBC and CNN are talking about Kim Jong-un is dead. And I said, first of all, the one reporter, the female reporter, to Katie Turr, she's never, half the time, two-thirds of the time, she is never accurate. Never.
Well, yeah, and these reports were coming, I think, especially from South Korea, and they have a vested interest in monitoring that kind of situation for sure. But right, yeah, we've got to wait until we've got all the info. what it looks like now, Captain, and see if you agree with me here, and depending on how this is now being reported, he may have had some kind of cardiac procedure,
yeah,
some other kind of thing, maybe like a stent or something like that, if he's recovering very quickly, perhaps.
Exactly. And, oh, by the way, we had another 4.4 million jobs added to the unemployment rolls, 26.4 million is, I believe, where we're at right now. That number is only going to go up, and we need to get that down as soon as possible. We need to get people back to work, and we can do it. 16 states are in the process of doing it between now and May 1st, and they're all red states.
Well, right. And, you know, Captain, the alternative is, I suppose, unemployment. Everybody knows people who have already filed for unemployment. And the question is, is there any enough money to pay these unemployment benefits for any length of time? The system was never designed for everyone to be on unemployment indefinitely.
Because of what we've got going on with Social Security, with Medicare, with the tremendous amount of money that's being paid out, it's going to be depleted much sooner than what they first said. And that's the next crisis they're going to face. They need to get on board with, because again, the people that are already on it are okay, but the ones that want to get on it are not.
That's right. And that's why this drive to do something to reopen, at least start laying the foundations, that's going to be remembered by the voters in November. Who was driving for it and who was trying to keep them from getting back to work?
Because there's not one dime for anybody that's unemployed going back into the unemployment or going back into Social Security, Medicare. None of that. Call FICA taxes. None of it's being paid. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Captain's America Third Watch, heard live right here on this station from 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern Time, overnight Monday through Saturday. Call 877-969-8600 and tell us what's on your mind.
You're listening to Kyle Warren.
This is Chicago-style hot dog here. I'm not feeling too good. Turns out, along with all the other bad things my cholesterol does, they say it's a risk factor for strokes. Strokes? Sheesh. Good news from National Stroke Association. Exercising, eating right, and asking your doctor about medicines that can help lower your cholesterol, like statins, may reduce the risk of a first stroke. And if you've already had a stroke, it's even more important you lower your cholesterol.
Lower your chances of stroke by controlling your cholesterol. Visit stroke.org today.
Hey, John, I just heard you got a new computer. Congratulations.
Thanks. It's the coolest thing.
What'll you do with your old computer?
I don't know. I guess I'll just throw it away.
Well, my company just bought new computers, and we decided to donate the old PCs to a place that gives them to local schools. You could do something like that.
Seriously, who would want a 3-year-old computer?
Hey, it might be great for someone else. Computers can be refurbished and reused instead of ending up in the trash. By passing it on, you can help the community and the environment.
If you're replacing your company's IT equipment or you're finished using your personal computer, pass it on to a local organization that accepts computers. To learn more, log on to epa.gov/passiton. This message was brought to you by EPA, Dell, Intel, HP, NEC, Philips, and this radio station on behalf of EPA's Plug Into eCycling Partnership. EPA does not endorse any commercial services or products of these groups. For information on all partners, log on to epa.gov/plugin.
In sports, 5 games were featured in hockey action last night.
Every year, millions of people rely on portable generators when they lose access to electricity. But some of them don't understand that a portable generator's carbon monoxide emissions can kill if their generators are used indoors. So we're here to clear the air. Always take your generator outside, away from windows and doors. When you take it outside, you distance yourself from the dangers of carbon monoxide. For more safety tips, visit TakeYourGeneratorOutside.com.
You're listening to Kyle Warren.
And welcome back as we continue racing through and rocketing through the Friday/weekend edition. Hope that you're well. Hope that you're safe. Hope that you have some great weekend plans, regardless of your stay-at-home or even weather situation. As we go through the weekend. All right, folks. Well, without any further ado, let's get right back to my appearance from earlier this morning on the Captain's America Third Watch radio program with host Captain Matt Bruce along the Salem Media Group of stations and going out along the GCN network as well. Take it away, Captain.
Hi, this is Mike Gallagher. You're listening to the Captain's America Third Watch with Captain Matt Bruce.
Yeah, you are. And this portion of the program brought to you by our friends over at Relief Factor. Remember, if you're in pain and you're trying to get out of it with an all-natural way of doing it without getting into the hardcore narcotics and all that other sort of stuff, then I want you to give a try with the three-week quick start over at Relief Factor. Now, they gave me a website to tell you about. It's called relieffactor.com/captain, relieffactor.com/captain. You go over there. You take a look at the little two-and-a-half-minute tutorial that's there with Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son team. They'll tell you all about what's in it, how it works. It's all natural. And then you order the three-week quick start for $19.95, and you'll find out what it's going to do for you. It works. 82% of the cases that people buy it, it works. So all I can tell you is give it a try, relieffactor.com/captain, because all you got to lose is pain. All righty, back to Kyle Warner, professor of politics. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Captain.
All right, well, we've got a caller on the line, but before we get to the caller, you and I were talking about a couple things here. You said your wife went to the grocery store and what?
Well, you know, she's been monitoring what the meat selection looks like. You know, I've been, we both have when we've been, you know, making stops at the store to stock up on stuff during the stay-at-home period of time. And, yeah, it's just that there is meat in the store, but the selection isn't obviously anywhere near what it used to be. And now that we know that some of these plants get shut down because some had test positive, and even grocers now are starting to look around to see how they're going into to fulfill those requirements at the grocery store for their customers.
Well, 25% of the pork producing is offline because of the plants that were shut down where they had the COVID-19 virus reports where they had to shut down the plants. So 25% of the pork producers, that capacity is gone.
Well, exactly. And you see, while everybody's staying at home effectively, everything is fine because people know they can go to the store. Yeah, it's, you know, it's a little bit more bare than it ever was, but there's enough. But once it starts sort of getting out there into the community that, well, wait a minute, we might have some other real shortages now, that's when people could really start to ramp up in terms of
okay.
the test factor.
All right, let's go to the caller on the line. I do believe this is Ian. Is this Ian?
Yeah, I got a couple comments. First, he's absolutely right about the meat selection. It's being rationed out, too. They only let you buy one or two packs. That's it.
Uh-huh.
At least the stores I've been into. And, oh, by the way, a lot of the meat packing, meat processing plants, guess what? They're owned by good old China.
Yeah.
Good old China is controlling a portion
Smithfield.
Of our
Smithfield
supply.
In particular. Smithfield.
That's right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And they're closing. China's closing them down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they're nice and don't want people to get COVID-19. No, there's an ulterior motive as far as I'm concerned to putting the screws on us.
Mm-hmm.
But what I really wanted to call about, you guys were talking in the last hour about Social Security, unemployment,
yeah,
all that. Listen. In my opinion, we've got an incompetent, corrupt, greedy ruling class, by and large. And you know what? They don't give a rat's ass about us. And they're sitting back making money off this crisis. And I'm not saying it's a conspiracy, but I'm saying COVID-19, yellow flu, Wuhan flu, whatever you want to call it, that cheap flu came along. And they were rubbing their hands with glee because it gave them an opportunity and they took advantage of it, okay? We all knew. I've been saying since 2017 they were going to crash the market. We all knew this was coming, and the tell was when them politicians sold everything in January, February, and early March. We all knew the market was going to crash. We knew somebody, they had to. It was economic, political, it's not just one thing. We all knew this was going to happen, and they don't give a rat's ass about us, the ruling class. They never will, and they never did. And I can tell you two things why. There's a lot more. We don't have time,
sure.
Obviously. Number one, they put up with the Federal Reserve, which has been around since, it's not federal,
right.
And it has no reserves. It's been around since 1913. That's the counterfeiting machine that keeps them in capitalism while they cry about, you know, capitalism. Raise yourself up by your own bootstraps, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when they start losing money, they socialize their losses on us. They put up with that because it's their own private banker. And also, another tell is, they keep sending us to wars and won't let us win. Thanks for taking my call.
All righty, and that's Ian. And he raises a lot of interesting points there, Kyle.
Well, he sure does. Well, and, you know, speaking of, you know, elites and all, As I recall, Governor Cuomo made a statement the other day saying, you know, about people that were out, when asked about people being out of work and worrying about that, he said something to the effect of, well, then go get a job as an essential worker.
Yeah, go get a job as an essential worker, which means go to work for the government.
Right, exactly. But it seemed like pretty cavalier and pretty tone deaf, even for Governor Cuomo, who's been, praised in many respects for all of his different briefings by the mainstream media, of course. But suddenly he comes out with something like that, and I can't imagine that would seem like kind of a real slap in the face to people who say, hey, my job evaporated because you told me to stay home, that kind of thing.
Now, you're familiar with Amazon, right?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Who owns Amazon?
Jeff Bezos.
And Jeff Bezos apparently has been doing quite well for himself because they've been using proprietary data from third-party sellers to produce and sell their own products to compete with some of the people that are on Amazon. And they do it for just a few dollars less.
Yeah, exactly. This is a very interesting story, Captain. Now, according to Amazon, they have the internal restrictions, basically, that don't allow their employees and so forth to be able to get into the seller-specific data and so forth that they might be able to copy or try to get a workaround to sell a competing product. So they say that they're launching an internal investigation. But certainly, this is a very interesting story. Anybody who's ever used Amazon knows that sometimes they have these third-party sellers versus things that are fulfilled or sold directly by Amazon. So, well, it'd be interesting to see where this goes.
Well, again, Ian said he didn't want to be a conspiratorial theorist, and I don't either, but the facts just don't smell right with everything that's been going on with this coronavirus. And yesterday, former Reagan Office of Management and Budget Director David Stockman, remember him?
Oh, yeah, David Stockman.
Yeah, he came out and said the virus lockdown was fraud on a massive scale, and I really have to agree with him.
Well, again, what's troubling to me, Captain, is that we don't see the American government really sort of united on this. It has degenerated into politics. I think you've got President Trump, who was faced with this whole thing and has tried to manage the situation and do what he can do as the chief executive. But it would make things a lot better for Americans if,
well,
it looked like the whole government was driving towards one goal, but it's not.
We've been doing the worst case scenario since the beginning with the models. I think all of a sudden they kind of changed that a little bit by what we're starting to see. But the fact of the matter is they went way overboard to begin with. We've never shut the country down over things that have killed a lot more people than what happened this time around. Unfortunately, people have to die when people get sick, especially the older people. The frailest amongst us, that's what happens. That's what's going on right now, especially with what we're seeing with the nursing homes, right?
Oh, yes. Terrible things coming out.
And unfortunately, that doesn't mean the rest of the country has to suffer just because of a few. Life goes on and we keep on moving. We've got to open this country. We've got to get things going. And I mean, the 16 states that are opening up between now and May the 1st that are starting today with Georgia and other states as we move right along here, May the 1st being next week, I believe it's Friday. I'll tell you what, you're going to see a lot of things going on. And of course, the media is just going to be watching. Well, look, five more people died here. Look what's going on. That's what's going to be happening.
Well, and they will use it as a political weapon against the Republican Party, basically, and against President Trump. But you know, Captain, one of the major components of this is to make sure that the United States shows other countries that don't like us very much that we are not simply paralyzed. And that continues to be sort of the message that gets sent out. We can't let that go on for very much longer because you do have countries that are going to try to take advantage of this on perhaps a grand scale, thinking that the United States is too weak or too preoccupied to deal with it for our allies.
And then finally, before we have to leave for the week, and then you come back on a weekend show, oil went up yesterday 16%. West Texas crude is now at $16.50 a barrel. Brent crude, it went up 4.5% to $21.33 a barrel. Gasoline stayed at 64 cents a gallon. Diesel stayed at 73 cents per gallon. The difference, of course, because the federal tax is already in there. It's not in with the gasoline already. And then the future of West Texas crude stands 1 year out, $18 a barrel.
Well, right, and I think a lot of this is, of course, we're into a new contract cycle, but also some of these promised production cuts seem to fit well with the market right now because there's so much in storage already.
Well, it's not only oil there's a glut of. It's gasoline, it's diesel, it's jet fuel. They're going to be eating jet fuel.
No kidding.
All right, tell us how to hear your show.
Thank you, Captain. Yes, you can go to KyleWarrenShow.com.
And we will talk to you tonight on a weekend edition.
Sounds good, Captain.
All right, Kyle Warren, the professor of politics, everybody. We're happy to have him aboard, and we're happy to have all the good comments made about what we do when we do what we're doing together. There's so much news out there, ladies and gentlemen. You should be hearing it on a regular basis on all the different stations you listen to. You're not, but you'll get it here. You'll get it here, and we're just loading you up with everything that we know that is news. I'll be right back.
This is the Captain's America Third Watch.
All right. Thank you so much, Captain Matt Bruce. Always a pleasure, folks. Thanks for listening today, and thanks to my special guest, Patrick Gilligan, author of the new book, All You Need Is One Great Idea. Find it on Amazon. Folks, we'll see you on the radio tonight and right back here on Monday. Until then,
you're listening to Kyle Warren.
Take care out there.